And our emotional healing was paid for on the cross. You hear a lot of physical healing. You hear a lot, and that's wonderful. But emotional healing, a lot of people are afraid to touch it. They really are, because it's something you can't see. A physical sickness, it manifests. You have symptoms. You can see something, and people can work with that. But as soon as you talk about emotions, emotions seem so ambiguous. Emotions seem so unseen, so untamed. They can be untamed. But God has paid the price for that, for healing for emotional area. And I've seen the Lord do many wonderful things in people over the years, just in counseling with them and praying with them and ministering the word, and God's opened their eyes. People that have had allergies. What theme did I talk on that time when the person got free from allergy? I think it was fear and control. I was talking on those two themes, and this person let go of some things, and as a result, the skin rash that she had had on her body disappeared. Someone else had eczema on her hand and had it for years and years and was scratching. It would get bloody and it wouldn't go away. It would just keep coming back. She had to put cortisone on it all the time. It just disappeared. She didn't have it for years and years, and all of a sudden it was gone. The Holy Spirit, through His Word, healed something in her emotions that caused her physical body to be healed. Emotions can cause you to be sick. Yeah. If you're a worrier, you can have stomach aches, back aches, headaches. Fear can cause headaches. Religiosity can cause headaches. A lot of things can be manifested from emotions. Emotions can cause physical ailments to come up. Depression can cause people to have aches and pains. I had one girl, she's has a melancholic personality. Anyway, she got healed. We talked about the subject of fear and depression in her life, because she had, being a melancholic personality, just as a hint, if you have this personality, you are vulnerable to negative thinking, perfectionism, and also can fall into this trap of being depressed, because things just aren't going the way you want them to go, because there's negative thinking patterns. They think very deeply, they have very strong feelings, but tend to be very negative and pessimistic, and they suffer a lot on and off from depression if they're not careful, if they're not aware of it, to watch out for those things. But they're very feelings people, but they don't show them out like the sanguine does. The melancholic keeps their feelings inside, and that's where they get in trouble, keeping it inside. Feelings that get locked up inside cause troubles. Okay, anyway, this other melancholic lady that I was telling you about, we were talking about fear and depression. She had a lot of problems with fear and depression, and I thought, oh, she's not going to make it. We're going to have to send her to a psychologist. I thought, she's not going to make it. She's almost going psychotic on me, on and off. And then all of a sudden she got a breakthrough, and she came out of it, and she hasn't had a problem since. And everybody can be free. It's a fight. That's why I have to tell you. It is a fight. And you have to say, yes, I'm going to pay the price. I'm willing to pay the price and stick it out and fight it. And that's basically all you have to do. And then God does the rest, really. And as things get uncovered, situations get uncovered, and forgiveness is spoken, sometimes there's other situations that are underneath it that get dealt with that you've never thought of, and people start getting free, and they start feeling it. They feel just like carefree. They feel inside like there's, like the weight's been lifted off of their shoulders. They feel freedom. They hear the Spirit of God. They hear the voice of God more also. They're more sensitive to hear the Spirit of God, because they're not all tangled up in knots, because they're not fighting and protecting themselves and being fearful. They have energy, and they're able to hear the voice of God. So, okay, let's get on to depression. Okay, I have like about 20 pages here, but I know I'm not going to get to it. Let's see. Many different kinds of depression, and many of them have their own root cause. I'll get into a lot of that later. And each of them produce a variety of symptoms. And who can suffer from depression? Everyone. Everyone can. Every person can. Actually, depression is partly very healthy when it's a normal depression, because it's the body's reaction to too much stress. If you ever have had maybe a week or 2 weeks of solid stress, and at the end of that, you just had a depression. It's like a protection mechanism that your body will shut down and not do anything, and you feel depressed, you don't have energy, so you just lay around and you mope around, and it's like the body is getting its energy back. It's kind of, remember Elijah, he killed the prophets of Baal, He did all those things. He called fire from heaven, and the water was licked up, and I don't know how, he must have been going all night long with these dudes. And the next day, the Bible says Elijah was depressed. He said, oh God, there's no other godly people in the land. Why am I here? And Jezebel's going to kill me. He just got finished killing all of Jezebel's priests. And God just threw that fire from heaven. I wouldn't have a worry in the world. Why wasn't he high? Why wasn't he euphoric? He probably was the night before. But what happened is the stress and the adrenaline and everything kicked in, and the body had to rejuvenate, and the depression came. So you know that there are times, okay, but it usually just lasts for a few hours, half a day or a day, maybe 2 days at the most, and then it's done with, and you don't have any reoccurring problems. And that's just a really normal depression, and everybody suffers from that one time or another, just so you're comforted. You don't have to condemn yourself or anything. Like I said, it's a response to overwhelming stress. And the other reason why depression comes is because we experience loss. And I'll just give you a list of some losses. Loss of love objects, loss of self-esteem, of control, loss of life's meaning, loss of reinforcement, an ego ideal is lost, a favorite pet, energy. When you get older, you realize that your energy isn't quite the same as it used to be. A loss of respect of others, of relationships, divorce, for instance. Did you know it takes 2 or 3 years to get over divorce? That's what they say normally, that to go through that grieving process. Sometimes it can take up to 2 to 3 years. Disappointments with our families because they haven't met our expectations. A loss of health or finances. Loss of job or status or your influence. A loss of dreams and ideals. All those losses can cause us to have depression. And sometimes that's how it starts with some people. Either they lose someone very special to them, or they lose a position or a job or a dream, and they go into depression. So there's a general thing. Depression can come from loss. But what happens is the person should just snap out of it, escape. Depending on what you lose, depends on how long the depression is. And if it's like someone you love very much, of course it's going to take longer than if you just lost your pet dog. Or if you lost a special ring that you cherished that was an antique that was handed down from your grandmother and you lost it. That's, you know, it may be taking an hour. You know, you get the picture. And but usually what happens is we start getting negative thinking. We start getting into perpetuating it. And what happens is all of a sudden we don't get free from it. And it starts coming back at the slightest little thing. We've allowed it to take place. We've allowed it to take root because we've thought negative thoughts, made it worse. Maybe something else happened shortly after that, and we became defeated, and we've given up on life, and all of a sudden we're in this depression, and we're not coming out. Maybe some days are better, and some days are worse, but it just seems to always be this nagging sadness there. And then gets into full bloom again, and then after a while it subsides again. And what happens, we usually perpetuate that ourselves, and we have usually a number of reasons why we sometimes we do it, because it's to our advantage. I've run into people, especially women have this problem, controlling women, and where it's been to their advantage to be depressed. Everybody takes care of them. They can just drop on the bed and say, I'm depressed, and close all the curtains and be depressed, and then the whole family has to jump and do everything and do all the chores and take care of the kids and do the laundry and the housework. And after a while it serves them, and they start using it as that tool. Of course that takes a while before they don't really realize they're doing that. It's subconscious and it's not an upfront thing, but it just happens over years and years of time. And what happens is they open the door and they're not able to stop it. They've opened the door to this to happen, and they're not able to stop it. And they get stuck in this cycle of depression. Once you've opened those doors and used those things to your advantage, it doesn't matter what it is, whatever, if you're a controlling type person, whatever you use to your advantage, once you open the door to those things, you open yourself up to oppression and demonic support. And then you can't get free, because you practice it so much. You know? There are people who use depression to protect themselves from challenges. For if you know somebody is normally very depressed or very down, then you don't ask them to do anything. especially in the church. You're not going to give them a challenging job to do. And they use it as a protection, to protect themselves from challenges, protect themselves from having anybody ask them to do anything that may be of significant, it needs significant energy, or mainly out of fear of failure. But again, it's using something as a protection to your advantage, and they get caught again in this cycle and can't get out of it. There are types of depression that are biochemical, and they're hereditary. They can be hereditary, and that is nobody's fault. It's not a decision they make. It just comes from chemical imbalance, and it's not a decision they've made. They haven't suffered a particular loss at the time when it happened. It just came because of a chemical imbalance, and that type has to get help from a physician and also antidepressant mostly. But it can be eventually, if they get medication and counseling together, they can eventually get victory over and not suffer and not get really deep into depression. It could just be a very light thing, and the medication and the counseling working together, fighting against negative thoughts, coming against different areas, helps them to live a really good life. And this does not hinder them in any way. It does not hinder them from normal life. It does not hinder them from enjoying their calling in God in any way. So just so you know that there are different types. Most people suffer from the normal depression type, but sometimes people use it to their advantage. And that's okay, where you have to really have wisdom, discernment. And I always send a person that comes to me and says they've had depression for a longer time to a doctor first. Let's get your blood test done, because, and I usually get them sent to a doctor first to see if that's there, to determine whether it's a chemical imbalance or whether it's a attitude problem or negative thinking or a loss that we need to work on. Some people don't even know that they're suffering a loss, you know. Could be something that's happened and that there was like a wave effect, and out of this wave effect they have lost something, and they're not even aware of it, what it is that they're grieving and why the depression is there. And if you don't know what the root is, you can't usually get free. If you don't know what the root of your depression is, you can get to it, but it prolongs it, because you have to deal with whatever the root is. You have to figure it out. Okay, I know why, you know, if I go, I'll say, I know why I'm depressed. It's because I lost my dog, Sammy. Okay, and I'll say, you know, I'm feeling depressed. I'm not getting victory in it. Can we meet and, you know, we'll pray and we'll talk about it. So then I would sit down. This is just a hypothetical, because I don't want to really point anybody out in case I don't want to hit your situation. And so we would sit down and we'd talk, okay, you know, how special was this to you, and what other losses came as a result of it. But let's pray and just ask God to comfort you. Can you let that go? Because most people do not want to let things go, and that's where the problem is. And as Christians, Paul says, I've learned to be content in all things. Sometimes we have to let things go. People go, situations go, jobs go, friendships go. Sometimes we have to let those things go. We cannot be attached to them in an abnormal way. It will just drag us into depression. We're saying, I'm not letting that go. I'm hanging on to it. I'm going to grieve it and grieve it and grieve it. And God's saying, let it go. Get over it. I'm with you. We'll go through the grieving process together. There is a grieving process, but I'm with you. And at the end, you're going to come out victorious. But you're going to have to eventually come to that point where you're going to let go. And if you've lost your grandma's antique ring, it fell down the sink and you can't get it back, you're going to be upset about it for a while, but you'll get over it. It's just a thing. And that's what I'm saying about depression. Work with the person. What is lost? What is the loss here? And is it an imagined loss? Is it imagined? Like some people exaggerate, or especially if they're a bit of a fearful personality. And fear of losing a job, even though they don't have any proof that the boss is displeased with them. But this fear of this loss is causing them to have depression, and they haven't even checked out if they should even be worried about this. And so what the counselor does is say, well, go ask them. Say, how is my job, you know, how am I doing? You know, not saying, are you going to fire me? Just say, how am I doing in the job? You know, do you see any areas I need to improve? Or are you happy with my work? Are you happy with my quality of my work? And get the feedback. And the guy found out he had nothing to worry about. His boss was happy with him and was was really pleased with him. And this whole depression thing, this fear of losing this job, was just a figment of his imagination. Another example is someone has a potential sickness or is waiting for surgery. And there was one example in the book that I read that said the guy had a lump under his arm, and he had 2 days time before he was getting it checked. And in those 2 days, he thought he was, you know, dying and already dead and had himself buried. And he got there and it was benign, it was no problem. So he had, of course, in this time, these 2 days, he went to a deep depression. But it was imagined loss again. It wasn't really a true loss. Okay, so you have to find out, what has this person lost? Is it imagined? Is it exaggerated? Is it real? Then let's work with it. Let's find out and let's ask God to take care of it. If they've lost a relationship because of conflict, see if you can reconcile. And if you can't, then you have to forgive them and let them go. You can't hang on. If they're not willing to reconcile with you, you cannot hang on to it. You have to let them go. Okay, so you're working with these people and helping them to get out of depression. Potential losses, children growing up and leaving home. Some women worry about that, and they're not even, you know, the kids are just 15, and they're already worried about them growing up and leaving home and getting in depression about it. Or worrying about getting sick, and melancholics often do that. They worry about being sick, or they get a little pain somewhere, and all of a sudden, in their imagination, they've got cancer, and they're dying. That happens so often, where I've had a melancholic come see me, a girl, and she'd had some pain, and she was in depression because she thought she was going to die. And I said, well, have you been to the doctor? No, why not? Well, I'm afraid to find out. I'm afraid he's going to tell me I'm got 3 months to live or something. I said, go see your doctor. Sure enough, there was nothing there. And often if you're a melancholic, you'll get psychosomatic symptoms too. If you've got pressure in your soul area, you'll start getting symptoms that are just psychosomatic, and they disappear when the pressure's gone. So if you go to the doctor, he'll tell you organically you're okay. Then you know, oh boy, then I'm producing my own symptoms. I better go to God and say, God, I've got stress. I need your comfort. I need your help. Just take it. And then the symptoms go. It's really, really weird what our soul can do to us. It is really weird, the cases that I've seen. Okay. Like I said, this attachment is the problem when we have lost. Attachment. Not wanting to let go and let God. Not willing to trust God that He's going to fill that loss. He's going to be the El Shaddai for your life, the more than enough, to fill your losses with more than enough compensation. He will be there. We will all suffer loss. Everyone suffers loss at one point or another. Everyone. So let's learn to deal with it. Let's learn in a healthy way and not fall into these pitfalls of depression, where we don't come back out again. Okay, the symptoms are always the same regardless of what kind of depression is, whether it's a light depression, whether it's a biochemical depression, whether it's a normal depression. The symptoms are always the same. Some are just a little more emphasized, a little more deeper. Mood symptoms, the mood is sad, unhappy, blue, crying may be present in some forms. Thoughts, the thinking is negative with pessimism about the future. Ideas of guilt and self-denigration are often present. Is that an English word? Okay. There's a loss of interest and motivation. There's an increase in a decrease in efficiency. They're sluggish. They're just not thinking. They can't think so well. They're slow. You ever had one of those days where you thought you were brain dead and you just can't think, you know, and you're slow and you can't make a decision? Maybe there's depression there. Maybe, or it could be just low sugar. Right, get some ice cream, John says, if you got low sugar. Okay, behavior. The energy is depleted, sluggishness, agitation. Teenagers, when they get depression, they're more apt to be agitated, pull back and quiet, but just grumpy, miserable. And instead of this sad and crying, they're more agitated, teenagers. Personal appearance may be neglected. And that's a sure tell sign. They start looking sloppy. They're not washing their hair. You know, they're not putting their makeup on. They're just looking really sloppy. They're neglecting themselves. They just don't have any motivation to do it. Everything's black. The world's terrible. I got no energy, I just don't feel like it, I'm not going to look much better anyway, you know. And those kind of, they think that way. They think pessimistic. Physical symptoms, loss of appetite or an increase of appetite. So either way, one extreme or the other. Loss of weight, poor and excessive sleep. Poor or excessive, one or the other. And so not, you can't sleep very well or you sleep too much. You sleep the whole day away. You get up, you think, oh, I don't feel like getting up. Oh man, everything's so dark, everything's so dreary. It's not going to be a good day. I'm going back under the covers. And anxiety is another symptom. Although sadness is a central mood, many depressed persons complain of fears, anxiety, tension, uncertainty, and indecisiveness. Did you know that depression can be a symptom of influenza, of the flu, when you get the flu bug? Yeah. Or a serious disease, from a side effect from a serious disease. Diabetics, for instance, can suffer from depression. MS, people with MS can suffer from bouts of depression. It's chemical again. Okay. Some depressed people don't seek help. But there is help out there. There's no reason anybody has to suffer in this. No reason not to be ashamed to get help. You don't. If some people don't seek help and they try to cover up their symptoms of despair with alcohol, tranquilizers, or mood enhancers. And I would almost bet to say that maybe 30% of the alcoholics are covering up depression, down feelings, trying to get themselves feeling up, trying to get themselves feeling good, self-assured, and out of that down. And it doesn't do anything because alcohol is a depressant. It makes it worse, and it's just an unending cycle of addiction. Depression, alcohol, again, deep depression afterwards, because it doesn't help. And then, because you're depressed, you grab the bottle because you get a bit of a high for a while, but then after it wears off, you're in a deeper depression, and it keeps the addiction going and going and going on its own. It starts going on its own. Or they take Valium, or they take... like I say, any kind of mood enhancers, just to get out of this despair, but they make the problem worse. Instead of just getting help, and getting the right kind of help, and getting out of it, they want to take care of the symptoms, instead of getting to the root. And if you don't get to the root, it's going to stay there. It's always going to be there. And you're just going to make it worse, by what, you know, your own self-saving methods. Okay. The causes and roots of depression, because, alright, I'll talk quick. Developmental phases, light depression bouts are triggered during developmental phases like puberty, or if you're going from different stage of life, from single to married, or becoming a parent, or midlife, or senior years. There's different stages, developmental stages. Big changes come, and sometimes there's a loss of the old, a loss of the old state. An adolescent, of course, is losing childhood. Of course, he's happy about it, but on one side, there's some advantages to being a kid than there is to being an adult. And they like to have both sides of the fence. Okay, spiritual issues, alienation from God, if you've committed sin and are experiencing the consequences of it. Oh boy. Especially people in the area of sexual sins, they suffer under depression because they know they're wrong and they know they're betraying someone else. They know that they're hurting someone else. It's a consequence of when you've allowed people to control you. If you give the control of your life to someone else, talked about controlling and being controlled a couple weeks ago. It's a consequence if you're being controlled by someone to feel helpless, to feel depressed. Okay, the next one, anger gone underground. If you have anger and you swallow it and don't deal with it in a healthy way, combined, where you just stuff it inside and you don't deal with it, it can turn into depression. Anger turned inward, it can become depression. And sometimes you have to look at anger issues if you have someone that's suffering from depression long term. And sometimes there's a lot of blind spots there and you have to help them. Well, tell me your family history. Tell me a bit, you know, and then as a counselor you say, well, you said your father hit you. Yeah. Well, you're probably very angry about that. And if you've just got it stored inside, a reservoir is still there. You haven't dealt with it. The reservoir is still there. you have to empty it out. You have to go to God and forgive for all those individual incidents that you remember in full color. You have the day in your mind. You have what shirt he had on that day. You have the situation. It's like a film. And you know the situations. You have to go and just individually take them and say, I forgive my father for treating me wrongly in that situation, for having hit me in an unrighteous way, for having not been fair in his judgments. I forgive him and I release him from that. And you just take them one at a time, and eventually the anger reservoir is empty and you don't have any problems with depression. Okay, but that's a biggie. You really have to help them see where they are still angry or where they still have anger problems in their past or current situations. Okay, negative thinking, that's a biggie. It prolongs depression. It prolongs it. And even if a normal depression starts up because of a loss, this negative thinking thing will perpetuate it, keep it going and going and going. It's a pessimistic outlook on life. It's a refusal to let go and continuously recreate loss. And then after a while, you start imagining losses, like, oh, I just know that they're going to leave me. I just know that financially I'm going downhill. You know, they start perpetuating it through this negative thinking. Okay, we have control. We have control over our thoughts. That's right. And the Bible says we are to take every thought captive. And we can stop negative thinking. But you may need someone to help you. Just point it out. Hey, listen to yourself. What are you telling? Or say, what are you telling yourself every day? Tell me. What do you say to yourself every day? Let's hear it. And stop it. Okay, let's talk about how you can change that with God. And we'll pray together and ask God to give a positive outlook in that situation. Some people that are depressed think that nobody likes them. It's always very everything or nothing. And you have to say, I like you. I'm an exception to the rule. And I know there's others. Let's look at it. Who else do you have a relationship with? Well, they like you. And nobody likes me. And all of a sudden, you're saying, well, I like you, and I know this person likes you. Your perspective is totally negative. Okay, pride. Okay, depression is often rooted in pride. Self-pity opens the door to that depression, self-pity. And self-pity is pride. Me, 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 poor old me. You focus on yourself. Your eyes are on yourself. They're not on God. Pride, poor old me. Or you concentrate on your inadequacies, self-consciousness. You're not good enough to do certain things. You're afraid to do certain things because you might embarrass yourself. Moses, he was concentrating on his inadequacies. God, I can't do this. I can't do that. These kind of people do these things, okay? Or they think life shouldn't go a certain way. Well, I'm sorry. It's not just going to go the way you want. You know, you can't control it. It's out of your control. But God is in control. That's the good news. He's in control. Go to him. He'll show you. Okay. Or they come up and notice one of their weaknesses. They hit something. They're doing something and they realize a weakness is manifesting. And they get depressed because they didn't know they had it. And they can sink in depression. That's just hurt pride. Okay. Victim mentality. Using depression as a means of self-punishment. Paying for your sins. I'm such a terrible person. I don't deserve to have a good life or good friendships or good things happen to me, and I'm just going to punish myself. And that can come from many years of abuse. If the person's been abused over many years, they start thinking very low of themselves, very low opinion, they're no good, they're nothing, and they can use this as punishing themselves, depression. Just fall into deep depression and stay there. Okay, but we know that Christ has come to redeem us. He calls us the redeemed. How can we dare call ourselves no good, no worth? He has made us the righteousness of God. He has caused us to be something special. And we are not junk, and we have no right to call ourselves that. And you have to, as you counsel these people, you share the word with them. Encourage them. Build them up, because they have been torn down so many years in their home lives or their past or whatever, and they just cannot believe that they are worth anything. And so your job is to build them up and get them out of that depression. But choose to embrace wrong thoughts and refuse to take wrong thoughts captive. using past trials and problems as excuses not to move forward, and making interpreting those trials as emotionally crippling. If you take a situation and you exaggerate it and you consider it emotionally crippling, and you use it as an excuse not to move forward. Okay, next, relational problems. Loss of relationship, of course, or where you've had bad relationships, where you've had conflict in the family with your wife, fighting all the time, where there's neglect or abuse or codependence, relationship problems. Okay, repressed trauma is when something deeply hidden, often involving some form of extreme violence or sexual abuse, is just in the subconscious, and it's causing depression. That's, again, for professional help only. Chemical imbalances, I think, is that next? Okay. Can cause depression. For instance, all know the PMS, menopause, post-birth depression. When a woman has a baby and thinks she should be happier than anybody, you know, but all of a sudden she has this week or 2 weeks of depression. And sometimes it perpetuates because of other compounding factors. People that take recreational drugs or alcohol, also chemical imbalances, causes of depression. Biological factors such as lack of sleep, poor diet, side effects of medications, some diseases cause. Okay, and depressive illnesses, that's the area that I haven't touched much on. That's psychotic as well as manic depressive. Have you heard of the bipolar depression, where there's one, for one part of the time they're on a high, euphoric, they do crazy things in that time, they go crazy, they sell everything, they give everything away, or they give out big lump sums of money, and then all of a sudden after, you know, the week after that, then they have a depression time. And it starts out, it can be 2 or 3 days if euphoria, and then a couple days depression, and then a gap back up, and then eventually it can get worse as time goes on. So keep an eye out for that, because that's sometimes one we don't catch. People that, you know, they're so euphoric, and you think, my God, it's almost exaggerated. What's going on here? Non-stop talking, euphoric, doing crazy things, really. And you think, wow, they're on a high, but maybe they have a problem with bipolar depression. Wait up and see how they're doing in a few weeks' time, and see if they hit a bottom and they have a heavy depression time too, to follow it. And they need to go to a doctor and get that checked, because that can be taken care of. It's, again, professional help, but it can be taken care of if they seek help. If you don't, a lot of these people don't want to seek help because they love the euphoria times, euphoric, whatever, how do you say that word? You know what I mean, because they love it. It's so much fun to be high. You know the old feeling when you're high and you're feeling good and you want to party and you want to do this and you want to do that and you're spending money you don't have. And, you know, you don't want to take medication and come down from that and just be normal Joe Blow, just steady and normal. You want to experience that again. But the problem is you have the downs afterwards. These people are very stubborn about taking their medication because they want to be the high. They want to experience the highs. So you really have to work hard with these people. Okay, generational curses. This is very important. Generational curses. The disease of the souls can be passed down to us from our family tree, prone to depression than others, because of their genetic makeup or their behaviors that they've learned from their watching their parents who have suffered from depression. You can inherit behaviors, not necessarily genetic things, but behaviors, because you grow up in a family, your mom and dad are your only people that you have to watch. They're your only examples. And if your mother goes in depression every, you know, 6 weeks, and you see how she deals with situations, or your father has depression and goes off and drinks, you see how he reacts to challenges, you see how he reacts to problem solving, you start taking on those same methods because you don't know any other way to react. You feel helpless. They haven't taught you any skills in working through problems. They haven't taught you any skills in how to handle challenges or hard times. You've just seen them fall apart and grab for the bottle, or fall apart and get depressed, or get, you know, hopeless. And this child will just pick it up. It's not because it's hereditary, but just because they watch and they copy, and they don't have any other skills to know how to do it differently. And these kind of people, you just have to train them. Well, this is, you can react differently. Look at how you could react differently in this situation. And just talk with them and share with them. There's different ways of handling this problem. You don't have to fall apart. Okay. That's a really biggie. People who have come from homes where there's been one of the parents that have been depressive on a regular basis need to get some help maybe there in retraining and how to cope with problems and situations. Okay. And some may say, well, this kind of depression sounds pretty hopeless. Chronic depressed people and people with depression illness, where it's a chemical imbalance, where they have the rest of their lives is because of some genetic thing they've inherited. And, well, that's depressing. But no, it's not. Because when you receive Jesus, you receive the DNA of God. When you get Jesus in your life, you've got a new DNA. And He can set you free from anything. And He can cause you to come into your destiny, fulfill your destiny. It doesn't matter what roadblock is in the way. He can move every mountain that's in your life. Every mountain. And you can say, well, that's a disease, Georgette. It's unhealable. But guess what? Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all your iniquities, your generational curses, everything, behavior or things that you've learned, who heals all your diseases. There you go. It's covered. Hallelujah, it's covered. Ooh. The diseases are healed. Who redeems your life from destruction and depression. I'm adding its paraphrased version. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, His comfort. Holy Spirit is the comforter. If you're feeling down, He is there to comfort you. And we all feel down. We all have challenges. We all have times when we feel down. I do too. And I just tend to say, okay, God, I need you as the comforter just in this situation. And He does. And there's nobody that can comfort you like the Holy Spirit. No person can say, you know, these pat phrases and cliches, we know they mean well, but they just don't comfort like the Holy Spirit does. He just has a way of doing it, and you just feel warm on the inside. And it's such a comfort. And you can go to Him as your comforter. And He says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Wow. We get to have the highs too. We don't have to be manic depressive. We get to have the highs. And the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all that are oppressed. So if you feel oppressed down in any shape or form, He is your righteousness. He will be your justice. If you've been unfairly treated, if you've been wrongly taken care of as a child, if you've had a family, a rotten family background, God is there. He is your righteousness, and He will bring justice to your life. He will execute judgment. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And if you have some of that in your past, you have to let go of those, let those people go that hurt you or treated you wrongly, and forgive them. And then Big God Daddy will take care of it. He will take care of you. And vengeance is His. I'll tell you, I'd rather have a vengeance of man than a vengeance of God. I'll tell you, man can only do so much, but God, He's all-powerful. And God is your justice. He will make up for any losses in your life. So let's just pray.